May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 514. 514. Oh, what matchless condescension the eternal God displays, claiming our supreme attention to his boundless works and ways. His own glory he reveals in gospel days. Hymn 514.
Thank you.
May the Lord help us to read from the second book of Kings and chapter 7. The second book of Kings, chapter 7. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, in the gate of Samaria." Then the Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" And he said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof." And there were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die." And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us." Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent, and did eat and drink, and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent, and carried thence also, and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, "We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were." And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. And the king arose in the night and said unto his servants, "I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry. Therefore are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city." And one of his servants answered and said, "Let some take, I pray thee, 5 of the horses that remain, which are left in the city. Behold, thou, as all the multitude of Israel that are left in it, behold, I say, they are even as all the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed, and let us send and see." They took therefore 2 chariot horses, and the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, "Go and see." And they went after them unto Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels, which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned to have the charge of the gate. And the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died, as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. And it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, two measures of barley for a shekel, and a measure of fine flour for a shekel, shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. And that Lord answered the man of God and said, now behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, might such a thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. And so it fell out unto him, for the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant in prayer.
Most holy and eternal, immortal and invisible God, do help us now to bow before thee, the sovereign ruler of the skies. Lord, thou hast spared us to the evening hour of thy holy day. Oh, as we venture into thy house, we do pray that thou wilt rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. Oh, dear Lord, may we be favoured like those two disciples did on the Emmaus Road. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Oh, we pray thou wilt draw near this evening and go with us through this service and through the remainder of our lives. May thy presence be our stay and guide us in this dangerous way. We pray for a grain of living faith that we may look wholly to thee, that we may have that living faith to believe, even to the saving of our souls. We may have that faith to trust thee where we cannot trace thee. May we have a little of that faith that is given to godly Elijah and Elisha, and many of those precious souls, Lord, in thy holy word. For thou hast said, without faith it is impossible to please God. And oh, as we venture to the throne of thy grace, oh, may we have that faith to believe thou wilt hear, thou wilt answer our poor cries and groans. For thou hast promised to hear the sighing of the needy, the groaning of the prisoners. And O Lord, as we venture to the throne of thy grace, we would come, pleading the precious name of Jesus, that name that prevails above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that thy precious name, dear Lord, may be honoured and glorified in our worship. Oh, that our hearts may be truly softened, Lord. We may know a little what dear Job said, for God maketh my heart soft. We pray that we may each be brought where thou didst bring legion of old to sit at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in our right mind. humbled in the dust. And may a precious Jesus be made very precious to us each, the one thing that's needful. And oh, we would come confessing our many, many sins. For thou hast said, if ye confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We pray, dear Lord, that we may ever be as penitent sinners at thy dear feet, and begging and pleading for mercy. Knowest how many of us, Lord, have to plead as the publican did. O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, that that cry might go right out of our hearts, Lord, and that we may sweetly experience what he did when he went to his house justified rather than the other. Oh, we pray, dear Lord, thou wilt give us that heart repentance, true godly sorrow. May we not be left to just lip confession, which one said is easier still, but oh, to feel, cuts deep beyond expression. May we be washed in that precious blood of the dear Lord Jesus, cleansed from all sin. Help us to come as the dear hymn writer did when he said, foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die. And oh, it's those, Lord, that feel the great need this evening of thy precious blood to be applied. They may know, and we too, our pardon signed, our peace procured, and the sweet assurance that thou didst come into this earth to save our souls, to save us from endless ruin. And, O Lord, we pray to have that real religion that thou art the author of, the finisher of, and that we may ever be at thy dear feet and begging and pleading, Lord, for those real spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus. We would thank thee for all thy great mercies to us, Lord, over these many years. Thy goodness to thy dear people here. And we do praise and bless thy holy name as we gather this evening, that thou hast granted safe deliverance to dear Corinne and blessed her with a little daughter. Do abundantly bless her and her dear husband, Lord, and the dear babe. And may it please thee to help them and help us each to praise thy holy name for all thy goodness and mercy to them. We would give thee all the honour, all the glory. And may they know and feel much of thy presence as they venture on as a little family. And be a favoured, Lord, with tokens of thy everlasting love, those blessings indeed. And oh, that thou wouldst give them that sweet peace within that passeth all understanding. Who bless each of the dear babes, Lord. We thank thee for them and the dear children. We would lovingly commit them each to thee, and we pray that thy word that has been set before them even this day in the Sabbath school may bear fruit to thy honour, to thy glory. and that the dear young ones may be raised up to be real followers of a meek and lowly Jesus, who keep them in these dark and solemn and evil days. And may they follow on to know the Lord, whom to know is life eternal. And who hear the prayers of dear parents, Lord, and grandparents, and those that pray for them. And may there be some mothers in Israel and travailing fathers raised up among them. And that there may be, Lord, seeing the wonders thou alone canst do. May thy grace be granted to each one. And may it please thee, dear Lord, to guide and direct the dear young people and help them to look to thee for all they need, both in providence and in grace. And may they ever be real seekers of thy face. And thou hast promised that they that seek shall find. And, O Lord, do remember those in middle age with the many burdens and cares and concerns they have. Do undertake for each one, we beseech them. And remember those that are unwell at this time and those in affliction's pathway. We pray thou wilt sanctify these afflictions, and if it be thy holy will, do grant that needed healing and restoring. And may there be a blessing, Lord, in all the paths of affliction thy people have to walk through, that they may be able to say, and we each, Lord, my Jesus hath done all things well. For thou hast said in thy word, thou dost not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. Oh, we pray that thou would appear for those in old age and weakness. We think of so many, Lord, and those in Bethesda, and those in their homes in great age and weakness, Lord. And many we know that have passed the 100 years of age, and they feel much the mud wall cottage shake. But, O Lord, do sweetly assure them and assure us each that it is well with us while life endure, and well when called to die. And may we be prepared for that great day of death and a vast eternity. Oh, do come, Lord, and sweetly assure us that we are thine, that thou art ours, and that it will be well while life endure, and well when called to die. Do undertake for each one in real need, Lord, thou hast promised to supply the need of thy dear people. And oh, whatever that need may be, in providence or in grace, oh, do come and supply it, we pray. And those, Lord, that may have got impossible things, may your faith be given to believe that those things that are impossible with us are possible with thee. For thou hast said, with God all things are possible. Do sanctify this sacred season of the year to us each, Lord. May we have that sweet assurance that thou didst come to suffer, bleed and die, to redeem our poor souls. And that thou art our God, our Saviour, our Redeemer, and that underneath are the everlasting arms. Remember the deacons here, do guide them and direct them and help them. Help our dear brother in his great loss, Lord, and bereavement. And his dear family too. We would lovingly commend them to thee, to the word of thy grace, to uphold him and strengthen him, Lord, and abundantly bless him in his soul and give him those sweet tokens of thy love. And may the dear deacons be helped in the choice of the hymns, and there might be that sweet flowing together between pulpit, desk and pew. Who bless the ministry of thy servants, and oh, do crown thy gospel through them, even this day, throughout Zion, throughout the earth, with success. And may there be that real fruit to follow. May there be yet, Lord, others constrained to follow them, to take up their cross, and to obey thy sweet commands. May this be, and may our own flock at home be the house of God to many, and may there be yet the sound of an abundance of rain. Lord, we long for thee to work, and we plead that thou wilt fulfil thy sweet promises. I will work, and who shall let it? To appear, Lord, in this guilty nation, oh, Lord, do hear the cries of those that sigh and cry over the abominations done in the land. And oh, it's the plague, Lord, that's raging in this land and through many other lands, Lord. Bring our leaders to solemnly consider the cause of it all. And oh, that there may be yet many brought to repentance and to seek thy face in it, Lord, to acknowledge our sin as a land. And oh, may our leaders be brought to look away from themselves and from man, to look to thee who art able to do far exceeding abundantly we can even ask or think. Oh, do come, Lord, and keep us each safe from the plague, if it would please thee. And oh, do bless this sacred season to us. And may our precious Jesus be to us the all and in all, as thou wast to the Apostle Paul. Now, O Lord, we would praise thee for all thy great mercies. We would not let them lie, forgotten in unthankfulness, nor without praises die. Who anoint us to speak a few things in thy holy name. And oh, do anoint us with that heavenly oil, and touch our lips with that live coal from off thy heavenly altar. Grant a true spirit of healing. May thy word have free course and be glorified. Forgive what we've uttered amiss. Help us to fall into thy kind arms, sink or swim. And do, Lord, crown thy gospel with success. We ask these poor breathings in the precious name of Jesus. For his dear name's sake. Amen.
Hymn 325. Forever blessed be the Lord, my Saviour and my shield. He sends his Spirit with his word to arm me for the field. in 325.
Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you again to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and verse 10. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, and the 10th verse. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, and verse 10. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Those of you who are present this morning will remember we looked a little at the wonderful commencing of this text, where the angel of God calmed the hearts of those fearful shepherds that were so afraid at the abundance of the revelation that was before them. And he said to them, Fear not. It was just really what those shepherds needed. And the Lord knows, as we venture with it this evening, the need of each of us here. Whether it be in our souls, in our pathways, in our families, and two in the Church of God, and two in the nation. And he knows exactly how to calm the fears of those that are afraid. And as we looked at that in considerable measure this morning, I want to go further, because he says here, "For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." These two words really have so rested upon me, good tidings, and then the effect of it, of great joy. And what were these tidings that the angel of God was to declare to these shepherds? Well, it is in the verse following, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord." Beautiful tidings, wasn't it, to their ears? And it's beautiful tidings to the poor, needy sinner that longs for the Saviour in 2021. "I bring you." And only he can bring it to you. He was the Lord that brought his beloved Son into this earth. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We sing in one of the hymns, don't we, concerning the birth of Christ, "Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free." Beautiful language, isn't it, for a poor, needy sinner. And here we have, "For unto you," and I did as we close this morning, just look at that, how personal it was for these shepherds, and how we each need it personally. "For unto you," you know, you'd be the happiest soul in Swavesey or even throughout this nation or throughout the earth, wouldn't you, if the Lord were to tell you this tonight? "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour." One that can save you from all your sin. You know, when the Lord convicts his dear people as he did so many in his precious word, like he did David, and he did so many throughout the Gospels of their sin, what poor wretched sinners they were, they long for a Saviour. One that could save them from all those sins. And it was he that was to go to Calvary to suffer, to bleed, to die, to shed that precious blood that cleanseth the blackest and vilest of sinners of all sin. I love that couplet of the hymn, "The vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, a Saviour's blood to plead. One that can remove all that sin, all that guilt, every stain of sin." You know, that precious blood still has the same power, poor soul, all these years since Calvary, to cleanse black, vile sinners. And what a blessed tidings it would be to your poor heart and mine if the Lord were to whisper this to you tonight. You know, the Lord's a sovereign. How he makes these good tidings known to his dear people, as our text says, "Bring you good tidings of great joy." The angel of heaven was to declare it to these dear shepherds. And those of you that feel so much the plague of sin within this evening, do you not long for those good tidings of pardon and of peace be given to you. We think of those precious words the Saviour declared himself when he said to that dear man, "Son, thy sins that are many, all forgiven." It was tidings that no other man could declare to him. You see, when the Saviour said it, it was with such power, it removed every particle of sin and guilt that was found in the dear man's heart, and those sins were all removed. And when I say the Lord is a sovereign, how he may do it and how he, what means he may use, you know, and I want to name just a few, and what blessed tidings they are to a poor, needy sinner. Dear Mr. Morris, the late servant of God, he said on one occasion in his quiet, quaint way, "You know, the Lord does not always tell his dear children that he's put away all their sin. Sometimes he doesn't say a word to them, but applies the precious blood of Jesus. That blood that cleanseth." And what good tidings they are, mate. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Precious word, all sin. It's something, poor soul, you can face the devil with. He will suggest, well, the Lord may have forgiven this sin and that sin and another sin, but there's all these sins he's not forgiven you of. And if the Lord say to you this evening, and may he sweetly apply it, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And the devil can never stand against that word. All sin. It can silence him in a moment. Beautiful tidings, aren't they? Good tidings to the poor, dejected sinner. All their sin removed. Think of those beautiful words that are couched in the Song of Solomon. I did just hint at it. It's a precious word to me. Now this morning, what he said to his bride, his church, "Thou art all fair, my love, and there's no spot in thee." And you know, as she looked for those spots of sin that so troubled her, they were all gone. There was no spot in her. She was clean every whit. I think too of the dear woman, and we tried to preach from it at home last Lord's Day morning, that was caught in the act of adultery. And you know how those scribes and Pharisees brought her to Jesus, didn't they? To tempt him. And when they said to him of all what she had done, he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and he wrote their condemnation. "He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone." And what did he do? He stooped down again and wrote on the ground. And they all went out being condemned and convicted of what solemn state they were in. They went out one by one. And he arose and looked at the woman. He said, "Woman, where are thine accusers?" They were all gone. She said, "There is none." And then he spoke to her a beautiful word. It was good tidings to the dear woman, but let's be very clear. He didn't agree with the sin she committed in any way. The Lord gives no license to sin, whether it be great or small. But what did he say to her? Neither, and it's a beautiful tidings really, isn't it? Neither do I condemn thee. Go, sin no more. You see, it's so easy if we are left to ourselves to condemn this one or that one, isn't it? But I often think of that, you know. My mother used to say to me when I was a little boy, if I said something about somebody else, she said, people in glass houses cannot throw stones. If they do, they break the glass. He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Neither do I condemn thee. Oh, may there be a poor soul here tonight feeling condemned by God's holy law. Feeling condemned by Satan. You may have heard the case of in dear Whitfield's day when he preached. There were two women that had been living in sin for years. And the village where they lived in had rejected them because of all the sin that they'd done. And they went in to hear Whitfield preach. And during his sermon he said, friends, who was it that Christ came into the world to save? He said, I tell you, the devil's castaways. And that's just how those two women felt. Rejected by the village, rejected by men. Rejected by the devil, feeling to be a castaway. The devil's castaways. And you know, the Lord so brought that home with beautiful tidings to those dear women. They went out of the house of God, you know, sweetly assured that Christ came to suffer, bleed and die for them. All the sin that had plagued them as they came into the sanctuary was all gone. And they were raised up to be faithful members of Whitfield's church. You see, we need from time to time good tidings. You know, as I said in closing this morning, that we live in a day where there's so much evil tidings. So many bad tidings, but to have some good tidings. And they must come from the Lord himself, these good tidings, because he is good. Our text says, doesn't he? I bring you good tidings. Be a wonderful thing at this season of the year, wouldn't it? If the Lord were to sweetly come to your poor heart and soul at this season and speak to you words of good tidings. Good tidings. It may be that precious word in Isaiah. I remember the late Mr. Woodcraft telling me that he was so condemned by his sin, by God's holy law, and Satan attacking him, he said, and he was felt to be at the ends of the earth. And he said, I fell down in my little cottage before the Lord and begged for him to appear. And he said, the Lord spoke to me these words, audibly from heaven. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Do you long for the Lord to say he's redeemed you and redeemed me? I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. The Lord claimed him. You see, we sing in one of our hymns, don't we? It's a beautiful desire, really. Come and claim us as thy portion, and let us lay claim to thee. How many times when we sing that beautiful hymn, come and claim us as thy portion, and let us lay claim to thee. You know, the spouse knew it. He came and claimed her in the Song of Solomon as his, her beloved Saviour. And she could claim him as her beloved. Oh, yes. My beloved spake, she said, and he said unto me, arise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. Sacred tidings, weren't they? She knew them. Do we desire them? I bring you. I cannot get away from this. It's personal, you see. And you, and may there be one in Swavesey Chapel tonight, the Lord whisper this to you. I bring you good tidings. You think of the good tidings, and we rejoice with our beloved friends this evening in the birth of their little babe, you see. It's good tidings, wasn't it? But you think in a far greater way, the good tidings that Christ was born, that long-expected Saviour, they waited so many years for him to come. And all, as we hinted at this morning, through the Old Testament, those glorious promises. Now, you may have got a promise. The Lord has whispered to you, and it's been good tidings to you. May have carried you through many trials, many difficulties. You long to see it brought to fruition more and more, don't you? You think of those good tidings, if I may just refer to it, that the Lord spoke to Joshua through Moses. Moses was the messenger. The message came from heaven in that beautiful word in that 31st chapter of Deuteronomy. And the Lord's Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong, those of you weak tonight and feel just like Joshua, Lord, I'm not fit, I'm unable to lead such a people as Moses is taken home. Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people. It was good tidings to Joshua. And here we find he goes further. For thou must go with this people unto the land which he sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And then this beautiful promise, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. You know, none of us know what we may have to face in the coming year if we're spared. In these uncertain, solemn times. But may the Lord whisper that to you this evening. It'll be words of good tidings. You know, often at the commence of the year, we are concerned about the future, aren't we? There's two things, really, when you come to the beginning of a new year. There's the looking back through how the Lord has been with you through it. And then there's the looking forward. And here before Joshua was this great task of leading the children of Israel, and he needed words from heaven for those good tidings. And as you consider the coming year, if we're spared, he it is that doth go before thee. Precious words. Do you need the Lord to go before you? For your young ones, in your providential steps at school, college, university, the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. It's something you can plead before the Lord. He will be with thee. What I love so, and the old preachers used to so often declare it in my early days, the eternal certainties there are in God's word. As Moses spoke this, it was not just Moses speaking it to Joshua, it was the Lord speaking it. He was just the messenger. As Mr. Gascoigne used to say, the Lord's servants are just the pipes that the gold and oil flows through. He will be with thee. You no need to fear, poor soul. If he's telling you, he's going to be with you and he's going before you. It'll be good tidings to you, won't it? If I may just inject this into it. When I joined the church in 1963 and sat at the Lord's Supper for the first time, the dear servant of God that received me into the church, he gave me this word, you know. What the Lord spake to Joshua through Moses, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. And we look back over now since 1963, and it's been wonderfully fulfilled. He will be with thee. And if the Lord's with you, poor soul, like he was with the disciples in the ship, you've no need to fear. He controlled the waves. He controlled the ship. He controlled the wind. He controlled the sea. He controlled their very lives. And the sea couldn't destroy them, could it? Nor could the devil. He got in the sea. The devil will get into anything if he gets an inch to get in with. But he will be with thee. He will not fail thee. You'll fail, and so do I. I feel continually to fail. Poor soul, the more we feel our failings, the more dependent we shall be upon the Lord. And we shall need words of good tidings like this was to dear Joshua. He will not fail thee. You may fail, so may I, but the Lord won't fail his people. Oh, no. Neither forsake thee. You may know what it is for men to forsake you. Your friends may even forsake you. But he has promised to never forsake his dear people. I love that couplet in the hymn, where the dear hymn writer beautifully set it forth, didn't he? I will never, no, never, the Lord speaking, no, never forsake. And he'll never forsake, poor soul, the work of his own hands. That work that he has begun in you, like he did in the case of Lydia and of the jailer and those in the church at Philippi. The apostle could well say to them, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will not forsake that work, but will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Fear not, neither be dismayed. You may have many things this evening that dismay you. But the promise, poor soul, will stand when everything else fails. And what he has said, and rest assured of that, it will never return void. The Lord has promised. So he says here, I bring you good tidings of great joy. You think of the good tidings of great joy the Lord brought to the dear woman that was pressing through the crowds to touch the border of his garment. And when she touched, immediately that issue of blood she had stanched. It was all finished and completed. The Saviour had done it. No doctor could help her. She was out of the reaches of all men. And what did he say to her? Words of good tidings. And what were they? Daughter, I think they're beautiful words, you know. He claims her as his daughter. Be of good comfort. Oh, she needed that comfort after 12 years of affliction, 12 years of trouble and of distress and anxiety, growing weaker and weaker. Be of good comfort. Oh, may the Lord, to those of you that may sorrow this evening, grant you that heavenly comfort. You know, it was good tidings to the dear disciples, if I may just turn aside to name it, when he said to them in John 14, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. There will be many that will forget you. But I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And when he promises to come to his dear people, whatever they may be in, pressed with sorrows and with sins, he will come and comfort them. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And they proved it, didn't they? You look after the resurrection, the joy of the wonderful tidings, and I'll look at it in a minute, that was set before them. The dear woman, there she was, in all the blessing the Lord was to bestow upon a daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith, that faith the Lord had given her, thy faith shall make thee whole. Go in peace. Go in peace. Be a wonderful word of good tidings, wouldn't it, to your poor soul this evening, if you were to leave the house of God and he speak to you, go in peace. And the devil, you know, will never take it from you. He may try you, he will buffet you. If that's of heaven, he'll do all he can to try and take it away, but he never will. What he has said will stand when everything else fails. The Lord, when he speaks, the power and application of it, as we have in our text, I bring you good tidings. And what a wonderful thing it is to have those good tidings. You think, and let me just briefly name it, the good tidings there were, and I speak this with much reverence, when the dear Saviour went to Calvary. I think of those, they've remained with me for a little while today prior to this service, what he uttered at Calvary, and how many of God's dear children have blessed the Lord for such tidings. When we read this, it is finished. I used to have a dear lady at Ashwell when I was pastor there, you know, and I may have told you before, but you know, she was so distressed because of her sin. Eternity was before her. She had much affliction upon her. She knew, according to the nature of it, that her days were short. And she went into her bedroom begging and pleading with the Lord to appear. And he whispered those precious words, "It is finished." And all those sins that so had plagued her and the distress she was in was all gone. It is finished. Salvation's work was done. All that God the Father had required of him had been fulfilled, satisfying the holy law of God in every jot and tittle. Fulfilling the wondrous work of salvation. You see, this beautiful promise given by the angel was to be fulfilled in every detail. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And poor so many of God's dear children have been so blessed with that word. It's been joyful tidings to their heart. It is finished. Salvation's work was done. She could lay down and die. Finish with the earth. Finish with all sin. Finish with all the troubles of this earth. It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. You think of the sorrow and anguish that the dear disciples experienced following this. Think of the two that journeyed to Emmaus. We trusted that it had been he that should have redeemed Israel. They felt everything was gone, didn't they, as they took that journey. Him that they so loved and had walked with had now been taken from them, laid in the tomb. But oh, you think of the joy of that resurrection morn. I bring you good tidings of great joy. You think of the joy there was in the heart of dear Mary Magdalene and those dear women as they went up. Love had took them to the tomb. Love to their Saviour to anoint his precious body. What did the angel say to them when they saw that empty tomb? He is not here. He is risen. What tidings, wasn't it? I remember the old Mr. Brooks, who used to be deacon at Braeburn, saying to me once that he went into the chapel one Good Friday in such distress, such sorrow, because of his own soul and all the pathway he was walking in and because of all his sin. And the dear servant of God preached from those beautiful words, "He is not here, he is risen." And he said, when he read the text, the dear servant, he said, the power that accompanied it, he said, it lifted me right out of all I was in. He said, I was like a bird let out of a cage. He is not here, he is risen. Resurrection power. Well could the Apostle Paul say that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And may the Lord grant it to us, each of us, that resurrection power. He can raise you right out of the depths, poor soul. As he rose, so his dear people, he will raise them. I bring you good tidings of great joy. Why it says great joy? Because they're eternal joys and they're experienced in some sacred measure here in this earth. Great joy. It's a joy that the world can never give. No man can give, but the Lord can give it, and he will to his dear people. Great joy. And you think of it concerning dear Mary Magdalene. There she was at the grave weeping. There's much to weep over. You may have got much to weep over today. In your heart, in your pathway. And what did the angel say to her? Why weepest thou? And then as she sees Jesus and knew not that it was the risen Saviour, her eyes were holding that she should not know him. She supposed him to be the gardener. What does she say? And you see the faith in the dear woman. Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and look at the faith, and that I might take him away. A poor, weak woman. Such was her love to the Saviour. He said to her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And immediately as he spoke that one word to her, a word of great joy to her soul, Mary, immediately she knew him. And what do we read? Rabboni, Master. And she wanted to embrace him. And what did he say to her? Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto my Father. And listen, and your Father, unto my God and your God. What music it must have been to her ears. And it was that dear woman that had to go and tell the disciples. And she could tell them with great joy, couldn't she? He is risen and gone into Galilee. There shall you see him. You may have wondered this evening why we read together that chapter in the second book of Kings. Trying to prayerfully consider it this morning before we came to chapel, what we should read this evening. The Lord dropped these words in that chapter into my heart. About the lepers, as we read, those four lepers. And what do we read? What they said. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. Are the four lepers here this evening that feel the leprosy? But you can look in your poor heart and you can look back in the life and pathway and you can see how the Lord has brought you from time to time to places where you experience a little what's in our text. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. What did they say? We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. You know, it's a wonderful thing when we've got a few things to tell what he has done of good tidings. And it's good tidings to the poor sinner. It's good tidings to the Church of God. I thought the other week, as we listened to the testimony of a dear sister, I thought, then, you know, this is the day of good tidings. She couldn't hold her peace any longer. And we put it to you this evening. Where are the four? Are you one of them? Think of these lepers. They got something to tell, haven't they? And who they got to tell it to? Just briefly, and I must leave it. That we may go and tell the king's household. Tell his people, you say. The hymn writer said, didn't he, then will I tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour I have found. Point to his redeeming blood and say, behold, the way to God. The love of Christ, the apostle said, constraineth us. It's a wonderful thing when the Lord in his love constrains us to tell of the good tidings of pardon, of peace, of joy, of his presence, his blessing, the answers to our prayers, the sweet manifestations of himself, Jesus, the one thing that's needful. Well, we could go on. May the Holy Spirit sweetly apply this, and may this season be a season of good tidings to each of our hearts and to the Church of God, not only here but at home and throughout Zion. And there may be yet the sound of an abundance of rain. Those enabled to tell the king's household. I'll leave it for your prayerful meditation. I've only scratched the surface. The glory belongs to the Lord. There are many cases we could name in the Word of God, like Hannah, Hezekiah, and many others. New times of good tidings in the paths of trial, where the Lord had appeared and answered their prayers, and they could tell what great things he had done for them, and give him all the glory, all the praise. The benefit is ours, the glory belongs to the Lord. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Pickett is expected to preach on Tuesday evening and Mr. Izzard on Christmas Day at 9:30. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Chapman is expected to preach. Let us close with hymn 956. Christ has blessings to impart, grace to save thee from thy fears. Oh, the love that fills his heart, sinner, wipe away thy tears. Hymn 956.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, do forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Lord, do bless thy own precious word. May we know a little what those dear shepherds knew with the glorious tidings of thy birth. May we be favoured with it at this sacred season and throughout the coming year. Do bless thy dear people. May we not leave it all this night on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little of the vines. Take us now into thy kind care and keeping. May the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the sweet communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the divine comforter, rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.